you know where you will spend eternity? The stakes absolutely could not be higher.
If you believe your soul secure, yet in your sins you dwell, the false grace message you believe will lead you into hell.
The Bible gives us two choices, either a paradise heaven or eternal torment. We need to turn away from our sins and place 100% of our trust in Jesus alone for salvation. Then we must be faithful to him until death. According to James chapter 1 verse 12, this life is a test. Only the ones who persevere will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Do you love God enough to enter the kingdom of heaven? Join us today on Fighting the Good Fight as Brother Dan Corner discusses issues crucial to your eternal destination.
1 John 3:14, the Apostle John wrote this: "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death." If you would just take some time and ponder this passage, it becomes very apparent that John is talking about a spiritual death that a person is in when they are unsaved, and they pass from that spiritual condition to spiritual life when they get forgiven, when they become a child of God, and when they come to the Lord Jesus. There are numerous times that we see this same kind of talk mentioned in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 9, verse 59, the Lord Jesus said to a person, "Follow me," but the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." That passage shows that Jesus is saying, let the spiritually dead bury their own physical dead. The same thing is shown in Matthew 8, verse 22. But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Now, all of this is very important for today's message because, as I already stated, there are two types of people, those that are spiritually alive and those that are spiritually dead. What we're going to examine is what the Lord Jesus and the apostles had to say about this issue, especially after coming to the Lord Jesus in the way of salvation. Before I do that, let me wrap up my preface with one or two other scriptures. In Acts chapter 10, verse 42, the Apostle Peter is referring to the Lord Jesus, and he said this: "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead." Again, it becomes very clear that there are only two types of people, the saved and the lost, and here in this passage, they're called the living and the dead. 2 Timothy 4:1 says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge." So again, we see the same kind of terminology. 1 Peter 4 verse 5 says, "But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." If you recall, in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul wrote to a group of Christians who had already come to the Lord, and he said, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Of course, that's past tense. They were spiritually dead in their sins, but since that point in time, they came to Jesus, they repented of their sins, they put their faith in Jesus, and they became saved and children of God, and they were forgiven. In Revelation chapter 20, in verse 13, it says, "The dead were standing before the throne." Well, it's speaking of there the spiritually dead, people that died in their sins. Do you remember when Jesus said to a group of people that unless you believe I am he, you will die in your sins? Well, these are people that died in a spiritually lost condition. Many people in our day think that all you have to do to get into the kingdom of God is have a moment of faith. All you have to do is make a decision for Christ. All you have to do is pray the so-called sinner's prayer and you are safe for all eternity, that you have your fire insurance, so to speak. But that is not the message of the Bible. The Bible tells us something altogether different. The Bible tells us that we must be born again or we must get saved, and then afterwards we must remain faithful to God to the very end. We must endure the hatred and the persecution that will come to us for following the message of the Bible, and we also must bring forth good fruit or we will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So these are very important details and truths that we must be aware of. In regards to this issue of the spiritually alive or the spiritually dead, the eternal security teachers have people confused and even deceived on this important issue, especially when it comes to people that come to salvation, people that find the true salvation that the Bible refers to. They flatly deny that the righteous can die spiritually. Let me give you two clear examples of this. The first one is from Ray Comfort, and the second one is from Charles Hoff of the Christian Jew Hour. Listen very carefully to what these two men have said about people getting born again, that afterwards they will never die.
If God has saved them, God will keep them. If they're born of God, they'll never die.
If you're a child of God, you'll never perish. You'll never die spiritually. But it is possible for a Christian to lose rewards.
As you just heard, Ray Comfort said, quote, "If God has saved them, God will keep them. If they are born of God, they'll never die," unquote. Now, he's talking about they will never die spiritually, not talking about physical death, obviously. He's talking about spiritual death. Remember now, these people think that once you become saved or once you become alive, you will always remain alive. And this is the essence of eternal security. Some people don't like that term. They would rather use the perseverance of the saints or once saved, always saved. Some people would prefer to call their own message in regards to that as the preservation of the saints. Not the perseverance of the saints, but the preservation of the saints. But bottom line is this, once you become saved, you will always remain a Christian, and you can never lose your salvation regardless what type of sin or negligence you get into. Charles Hoff said the same as Ray Comfort. Charles Hoff, as you just heard, stated, quote, "Now, if you are a child of God, you'll never perish. You'll never die spiritually, but it is possible for a Christian to lose rewards," unquote. So again, we have these people that are endeavoring to preach the gospel of grace, which is really nothing but a perverted grace message and a perverted gospel. These people are declaring that you cannot die spiritually, in contrast to what the Bible says. One of the very first times that God ever spoke to Adam is found in Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17. And it says this, "The Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" God is telling Adam, for Adam to remain alive, he would have to obey. That's really what he's saying. Adam already had life in him. In fact, what's so amazing to me is, if you would check what the eternal security people have put in their commentaries regarding what happened to Adam and this particular command from Genesis chapter 2, you will see that they are talking about spiritual death is the threat that God had told Adam of. So really what God is telling Adam here is that for him to remain alive, he's going to have to obey. To stay saved, Adam would have to continue to obey. You see, it's not so much for him to become alive. Adam already had life in him, and it was eternal life. He would have remained in the garden forever. God was telling him, really warning him, that he would surely die spiritually through sin or through disobedience. This same kind of truth is found all through the entire Bible, from Genesis all the way up through the end of the book of Revelation. The devil came to Eve, and he contradicted this command that God gave Adam in Genesis chapter 2. The devil came, and he said to Eve, "You will not surely die." That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. What happens when a righteous person sins? Is it possible for that righteous person to die spiritually? Or is it that all he will do is just lose his reward, maybe the joy of his salvation, his fellowship with God, or something much less? Five times in the book of Ezekiel, we see where the prophet Ezekiel commented precisely on what God said would happen if a righteous man turns and does evil, or if a righteous man would turn and commit sin. He said that in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 20, chapter 18, verse 24, Ezekiel 18, 26, chapter 33, 13, and 33, 18. And in all five times, the prophet Ezekiel stated that if a righteous man would turn from his righteousness and commit sin or do evil, he will die for it. The same thing that God told Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. If you remember what Ray Comfort and Charles Hoff said, it's the absolute antithesis of their message, which is really the heart of eternal security. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:13, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. He's writing to Christians, people that were already alive, just like Adam was already alive. He told them that they're going to have to obey so that they will not die spiritually. That's really what Romans 8:13 is teaching. Closely connected with Romans 8:13 is what the Lord Jesus gave us in John 8:51. In John 8:51, Jesus said this, "I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Let me repeat that. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Lord Jesus wanted people to know how they would never see spiritual death. They're going to have to keep his word, and that will prevent them from dying spiritually. What happened to Adam was preventable. All Adam had to do was not to eat fruit from that forbidden tree. That was the same type of warning the Apostle Paul gave the Christians at Rome. And he told them, if they live according to the sinful nature, they would die. Notice the similarity between John 8:51 and Romans 8:13. And again, the subject very clearly is spiritual death and how the righteous can prevent their own spiritual death. We're going to have to keep the word of God. Sometimes people slander our position. They misrepresent what we believe from the Word of God. We believe that we are saved by trusting in Jesus, by believing on Him, by putting our faith in Jesus and repenting of our sins. And in a moment's time, we become spiritually alive, that you pass from death to life. After you get born again, to stay spiritually alive, you're going to have to keep God's Word. You're going to have to not live according to the sinful nature. Now, that's based on John 8:51 and Romans 8:13. Now, if people say, well, I don't like what you just said. I don't agree with that. That's not what I heard this teacher say. I don't care. Look what Jesus taught. Look what the Apostle Paul said. Friend, if that is your attitude, I have to ask you, where are you putting your trust? In what the Bible says or what some popular teacher today teaches? Jesus said, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never see death. Similarly, in John 11:25 and 26, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Notice, here Jesus said, for us to never die spiritually, we have to continue to believe on Jesus, right to the very end. Really, that's the same truth reiterated in John 3:16. That is where the Lord Jesus said that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would continue to believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. It's a continuous tense there. Jesus wanted everybody to know we're going to have to continue to believe on him so we won't perish. And here in John 11:26, it's clearly referring to spiritual death. You'll never die spiritually as long as you continue to believe on Jesus, which must equal keeping his word. Some people would try to divide the two. They would try to say, you can believe on Jesus and really not keep his word, but not according to the scripture, because this word means trust on, cling to, and rely upon. And it definitely implies and includes submission. So it's a trusting and submitting faith in Jesus that will save us from damnation. For us to stay alive spiritually, according to the message of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, in the book of Ezekiel, over here in the Gospel of John, and the book of Romans, we're going to have to continue to believe on Jesus, we're going to have to keep his word, and not live according to the sinful flesh. I'm talking about New Testament believers, talking about you and me. If you're a real Christian, this is what you're going to have to do to actually get into the kingdom. Now, I know this goes cross-grain, so to speak, to what multitudes believe in our day, but this is not contrary to the message of the Bible. The Bible teaches you must continue to believe on Jesus or you will be lost throughout all eternity. We'll be right back.
Nearly 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, predicted that the day would yet come when people would not put up with sound doctrine. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 2-4, he wrote, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Friends, that time is here. Multitudes living in our day are not putting up with sound doctrine, and there are a great number of teachers saying what itching ears want to hear. Our message, What's Wrong with Today's Gospel, will give you actual audio quotes from the big name preachers of our day and the refutation from Scripture. If you order a copy today for only $5, we will also include 9 stirring audio testimonies of people who once believed in eternal security, but have since found the truth. Order today by phoning toll-free to 1-877-HATE-SIN. That's 1-877-428-3746.
In John chapter 6, 47 through 51, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We're going to have to continue to eat of Jesus, the living bread, so that we will live forever and not die spiritually according to this. Sadly, some people have misunderstood this, namely Catholic people, and they actually think this is referring to a transubstantiated communion wafer. If that was true, then we would expect that nobody could ever get into the kingdom of God unless they would partake of the Lord's Supper. But we see examples in the Bible. At least one clear example would be the dying thief, who not only was not water baptized and he entered paradise, but also he never had communion and yet he entered the kingdom of God. Now, I don't mean to go too far off on a tangent, but I did want to expand upon this. Jesus is saying right here that we're going to have to continue to eat of him. He's the living bread. Unlike that manna that was served to the Israelites way back in the beginning of the Bible, Jesus is the living bread. We will live forever as long as we continue to eat of this bread. And we will continue to eat of this bread as long as we continue to believe on him and we continue to keep his word. Let me give you another scripture relevant to all this. And this is found in Revelation chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. It says, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Jesus told people that were already saved, they would have to be faithful to God to the point of their own physical death, not to be hurt at all by the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. That's a very important truth to understand. That's basic to Christianity, even though most people don't even know about Revelation chapter 2, 10 and 11. And this is Jesus speaking to those that had already been saved. We have a very clear example in the New Testament from the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ of a person that did not continue to keep the word of Jesus. Instead, he went ahead and turned to wild living. In Luke chapter 15, we read of this person. We commonly know him as the prodigal. The younger of the two sons, he departed from the father's presence into wild living to go and be sexually immoral with the prostitutes. And after a while, he came to his senses. He had to get pretty low, though, before he came to his senses. He repented. He turned from all that sin. He came back into the presence of the Father to serve the Heavenly Father. The Father said in Luke 15, verse 24, for the Son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and so was found. So they began to celebrate. What happened to the prodigal was he died spiritually. It says he was dead. Now, this isn't a person that was never saved to begin with. This is a person that became alive again. So notice, he had spiritual life, and then he died spiritually when he was sexually immoral and probably drunk and doing other wild things like that. And that's the same time that he was spiritually lost, according to Luke 15:24. And not only in Luke 15:24, the same is shown in Luke 15:32, which reads, "But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So very clearly, Jesus is teaching here that most definitely the righteous can die spiritually through sin. The same truth that Ezekiel taught five times, which is also what Almighty God told Adam in Genesis chapter 2, which is also what the Lord Jesus stated and the Apostle Paul. But that's not all. If we go to the book of James, James tells us the sinning process in James chapter 1, 14 through 16. He wrote this, "But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers." James doesn't want anyone to be deceived that sin will bring forth spiritual death. I said spiritual death. Notice that the prodigal died, just like the Apostle Paul said would happen if you live according to the sinful nature, which is what the prodigal was doing. He was living according to sinful nature, and just like Paul wrote in Romans 8:13, occurred to the prodigal. He died, and he became spiritually lost. And James said the same truth, but in different words at a different time, in James chapter 1, 14 through 16. Sin gives birth to death. And in James chapter 5, 19 and 20, these are the last two verses in the book of James, it says, "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover over a multitude of sins." James is teaching the same truth a second time at the end of his epistle. This time he's saying that if you stray from the truth, Jesus is the truth, the way and the life. If you stray from Jesus and you turn to sin, you become a sinner. Well, you can have your soul saved from death if you come back to where you were when you were in the truth, before you strayed from the truth. So here he's speaking of people that were saved, that turned to sin, and their spiritual identity changed, and then they were brought back, which does not always happen, but in this case it did, and their soul was saved from death. This is the message of the Bible. I believe there are multitudes of people in our day that are thinking that they won't ever go to hell because they were once saved because they have heard a teaching from some eternal security teacher, maybe the so-called Bible answer man. Notice I said so-called. Or some so-called Berean, quote-unquote, or somebody else that would exalt themselves with a title like that, but nonetheless teach a heresy such as eternal security. Folks, the Bible teaches that a righteous person will die spiritually if they turn to sin. It says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 6, "But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives." According to the context, the Apostle Paul, the one that taught that we're saved by grace and that we're not under the law, was referring to widows who previously had a dedication to Christ, but afterwards started to follow Satan. All you have to do is read verse 11 and verse 15 in that same chapter. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5. So what is he saying? He's saying the same thing that's shown all through the Bible, that there are only two types of people. We would tend to say they're either the saved or the lost, but here they're referred to in a different manner. They're referred to as being spiritually alive or spiritually dead. Now, we're being told in our day that if a person is living for pleasure, that that might be a live person, maybe just a carnal Christian, who has forfeited their rewards, but that's not what Paul said. Paul said such a person is dead even while she lives. That's the same truth that Jesus taught two times as I gave toward the beginning of this broadcast. Do you remember those scriptures from Luke 9:59 and 60 as well as Matthew chapter 8 verse 22? That's where Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead." There's the saved and the lost, but they're called repeatedly throughout the scriptures the living and the dead. But the eternal security people, and it's not just Ray Comfort, and it's not just Charles Hoff, such a big long list of names, it would take me perhaps 5 minutes to read just the names of the popular teachers in our day. And that's not to mention the local pastors in your community, wherever you might be. This is a worldwide problem. This false doctrine has spread like gangrene, and it is antithetical to the message of the Bible. It's the exact opposite of what the scriptures declare about how to stay saved. Jesus wanted Christians that were already saved to know that they would have to remain faithful to God to the very end of their life. But that's not the message of these eternal security people. They're saying all you're going to lose or jeopardize would be your rewards or something like that. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, 10 and 11, that you won't be hurt by the second death or the lake of fire, because the second death is the lake of fire, as long as you remain faithful to God right to the end of your life. That is the same message Paul gave and that Jesus gave at an earlier time. So from the book of Genesis, right on through the Old Testament, up into the New Testament, the message is consistently shown that a righteous person can die spiritually, the exact opposite of what the eternal security doctrine declares.
If God has saved them, God will keep them. If they're born of God, they'll never die.
If you're a child of God, you'll never perish. You'll never die spiritually. But it is possible for a Christian to lose reward.
This might sound hard, it might sound extreme, but the teaching of eternal security is not from God. Eternal security is really a reiteration of the devil's message from Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. The same lie the devil gave to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 that caused her to stumble into sin is what we are hearing today from the eternal security teachers. Listen to what the Apostle John said. 1 John chapter 2, 3, and 4. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I don't care if somebody was saved in the past or not. Are they still saved? If they say, oh yes, I know him, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm born again. I was saved when I was 14 years of age. I was water baptized when I was a young man or a young lady. But now they're committing some type of sin, such as cited in Revelation 21:8 or 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, or some other list such as that. Well, the Bible says if that person thinks they know God, or if they're saved, if they're spiritually alive, they're a liar and the truth is not in them. So friends, what will you believe? The Bible or people that are contradicting the scriptures? The choice is yours.
Warning: don't go to hell by believing a false gospel and counterfeit grace message. Order a copy of our 800-page book, The Believer's Conditional Security. This book is the most exhaustive refutation to eternal security ever written. It contains 25 chapters, over 700 footnotes, hundreds of Bible references, more than 195 reference sources, and 13 appendixes. It has scripture and subject indexes and a bibliography. Learn little-known historical facts about the Reformation period. Read contradictions between the big-name eternal security teachers and the biblical refutation to 110 eternal security arguments. Find out how to safeguard your family from the devil's masterpiece of false doctrine. Get your copy today for only $19.50 postage paid by calling toll-free 1-877-HATE-SIN. That's 1-877-428-3746. If you live outside the USA, call 724-632-3210 and add $10 for postage. Or you can send your check or money order to Evangelical Outreach, Post Office Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania 15301. That's Evangelical Outreach, Post Office Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania 15301. You can also order online from www.evangelicaloutreach.org.